Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome teachers from around the country for joining us on our second quarter town hall for ag educators and for those of you that also serve as FFA advisors. We're very pleased tonight that we have our friends and colleagues from National Association of Agricultural Educators joining us and are going to present part of the program. We have several of us here at the National FFA Center in Indianapolis, and we're very pleased that you could join us. Of course, this recording will be available on the Ag Ed discussion board, and I would assume we'll also post it on FFA.org. Anyone that is listening that wants to tell your friends and neighbors how engaging the information is and that they ought to come back and listen to the conversation, please let them know. But I would start off by saying that the spring is springing here in Indianapolis. We are engaged in a number of initiatives. First, we continue to work with the NAAE on our inclusion, diversity, and equity work. And there will be more information coming out about that in the not-too-distant future. So stay tuned for the work on inclusion, diversity, and equity. We are also reminding teachers that the year-long Living to Serve grant applications will open next Monday, April 15th. By the way, the same day that your taxes are due. That application for Living to Serve is available in both the English and the Spanish language. And this is an opportunity for middle and high school FFA chapters to apply for up to $3,000 to support year-long service learning projects that are addressing and taking care of community needs in one of four focus areas. The first would be community safety. The second is around hunger, health, and nutrition. The third, environmental responsibility. And the fourth, community engagement. So that opens on April 15th. You have 60 days until June 15th to submit applications. And if you're looking for some ideas on what others have done or just some overall thoughts on year-long service learning projects, please go to FFA.org /livingtoserve. I would say a few other topics that are underway here. We had our first local organizing committee meeting for the planning for National FFA Convention. We already have committees that are well underway in that work. Our teams here in the Program and Events Division are actively working on the honorary degrees as well as preparing for American degrees and preparing for the summer activities that will revolve around career development events and leadership development events, as well as judging proficiency awards. So a lot of things that are underway. You're aware that the Washington Leadership Conference registrations have opened. Last I heard, we still had some spots available for later sessions in Washington Leadership Conference. Of course, 212-360 will begin, as will the training opportunities for state officers. A little different process for that. And the State Officer Summit is slated to be held in July, year two of the new format for the State Officer Summit. So a lot of activities that are underway at the FFA Center, and I know that there are some really interesting things going on with our friends at NAAE. I would like to introduce two individuals that are going to join us and present some information. First, Ellen Thompson with NAAE, who will be discussing the overall Teach Ag program with some reference to Ag Ed supply and demand, as well as professional development activities that will take place this summer. Nancy Trivett is also with us to discuss the CASE Institutes. and will be presenting some information on advocacy and the reauthorization of Perkins. So, Ellen, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to turn it over to you to take over the call.
Of course. Thank you to our friends at the National FFA Organization for allowing us this opportunity to share resources and to share our general message to agricultural educators. I do have a few things to cover. I will do them knowing that you can always go to the NAAA website for additional information to support any of the things that we will be talking about NAAA related. I'd like to first start out by sharing with you an update on the Agricultural Education Teacher Supply and Demand Study that is done as a initiative of AAAE, and the National Teach Ag Campaign and NAAA are partners with that. We have been collecting very timely and focused data, really, really good solid data now for 4 or 5 years through that partnership. And because of that, now we're able to have a pretty good idea of where things are at. So a couple of things that we'd really like for everyone to continue to focus on or to remember as they think about the supply and demand of ag teachers. We continue to see growth in agricultural education, anywhere between 100 and 200 programs on an annual basis. We do have some programs closing every year, anywhere between 50 and 75 positions are lost. This year alone, we had 32 of those positions that were lost due to the lack of an agriculture teacher, so we know that the demand for ag teachers is still high. The number of individuals majoring in agricultural education continues to increase. It went up this year 1% and has been going up steadily over the last few years. That's even as we see a decrease in other education content area majors. We have seen an increase in the conversion rate of graduates who go on to taking their first teaching position. 75% of graduates are now going on to teach, which is the highest number or percentage in the history of the data that we've been collecting over the course of the last 30 years. And then also want to make you aware that the current retention rate of teachers is around 96%. So we're doing great in the areas of retaining our teachers. So all these investments in teacher training, teacher professional development, teacher support have certainly paid off, as well as individuals really starting to, or not starting to, but have always had high job satisfaction. At the same time, because of the increase in the demand for ag teachers, we are hiring an unprecedented number of alternatively licensed or non-licensed individuals, a total of about 400 of those just last year alone. And we continue to see challenges with the diversity of the teachers that we have in the profession. Right now, we're graduating about 70% female and about 90-some percent Caucasian. So it continues to be something that's very important to us and something we have a pretty solid plan to address, but it will take a long time before we can start to see some inclusion of all individuals in the profession and then, of course, the diversity that goes along with that. On the other side, we'd like to make you aware of some opportunities to engage in quality professional development through NAAE over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Want to encourage everyone to sign up for the Summer Book Club. This is the fourth or fifth year of the Summer Book Club. This summer's book is the Make Learning Magical book. And so you need to sign up on the NAAA website by May 31st. You'll have access to 12 professional development hours through that particular professional development experience. So it's been more than 100 individuals have already signed up, so we're looking forward to the rest of you joining us in that fantastic discussion that will not only improve your teaching, but also enlighten you and re-energize you and get you engaged with other teachers that you maybe haven't had an opportunity to do so. We have a number of regional conferences taking place over the course of the summer that offer both professional development and an opportunity for you to get involved in the leadership of our organization. All 6 regional conferences will take place between the end of May and the end of July, so check the NAAA website for those. We're happy to offer, once again, State Accelerate. That is the 7 to 15-year professional development experience for teachers who are looking to re-energize. You maybe want to stay in the profession, but you need a little help delegating, prioritizing, and navigating the monster that you've created. We'll be hosting those in Nebraska, Ohio, California, Louisiana, and Illinois, as well as a few other states, and at the same time doing the State Ag I Squared, which are the inquiry institutes that will take place in a number of states as well, along with the National AgriScience Teacher Ambassador Academy. So there's certainly no shortage. And that doesn't even talk about the state level professional development that is happening, but we are always committed to ensuring that we are investing in teachers because we know the best investment for students is to have high quality and diverse teachers. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nancy Trivett, who is going to share with you some of the wonderful things going on with CASE.
Thank you, Ellen, very much. And thank you, Mark, Molly, and Larry for providing this opportunity for NAE to address the town hall. Certainly it's an honor for me to represent NAE and serve as the CASE director. Ellen just went through a lot of professional development for ag teachers, and I'm going to talk about some as well, but I'll start out by saying that agricultural science education is special, and the professional development that is available to our teachers in our states and across the country is premier. And sometimes, because we're so engrossed in our profession, we don't realize how much opportunity for professional development we have as agriculture teachers, as opposed to maybe some of our colleagues in other content areas. So certainly, Ellen, thanks for reporting on those many, many things that NAAE does. And I'm going to touch on a few topics under the CASE program as well. But before I get into some of that detail, I'd like to just touch on the Mark mentioned that I would be speaking about advocacy and the reauthorization of Perkins tonight. So I think I'll touch on that initially. When I think about advocacy, certainly I automatically think and certainly have directed lots of people to both the NAA site over the years as well as the ACTE site. So as I wear my ACTE hat, the Association for Career Technical Education, both of those sites have a plethora of opportunities to and toolboxes to help you advocate for your program at the local level, at the state level, and certainly even at the national level. But this past year, or I should say years, we have all been engaged in advocating for our career and technical education programs, and specifically for us in agriculture, in hopes that we could finally get the latest Perkins bill reauthorized. And so finally, last July, I think it was about July 20th or 30th, that the president signed into law Perkins 5, as we know it. And that certainly is somewhat similar to what we've experienced in the past for Perkins, but there are some intricacies about it that are new and maybe a little strengthened in certain areas. As we speak today, I expect that in all of our states, our CTE directors are meeting to continue to learn what they need to do to help our districts and our teachers facilitate and take advantage of that Perkins legislation. Not that I want to make this a commercial, but there is a great resource available for Perkins 5. It's the Official Guide to Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act. That's the actual name of the law at this point, the Act. And so that guide is available through the ACTE website, but it is a comprehensive guide to helping both at all levels, teachers, state-level folks, and as well at the national level. So that may be a resource that you may want to check out on the ACTE website to help navigate some of the changes and or some of the similarities in the current legislation. I will say that at this period of time, probably what's happening around the country in all cases is that all states are learning what the differences and similarities are, and quite frankly, working on their one-year plans or potentially their multi-year plans. But it sounded to me like a lot of states were working on one-year plans as I attended one of the sub-regional conferences last winter. So that's probably what we need to know at this point about Perkins. There's certainly lots of avenues for resources, but if, in fact, you need more additional information, certainly feel free to connect with me, and I can help you connect to folks at ACTE to help navigate that at your state and local levels. But in any case, I am, as I said earlier, thrilled to serve as the National Case Director and to speak a little bit about our case institutes across the country. So there could be people listening to the recording or on the call tonight who really aren't ready to talk about case institutes so they understand just a little bit about case. So I'll give a little background there before I touch on specifics around case institutes. The curriculum for agricultural science education, and that's obviously what we, what the term case stands for, has been around for about 12 years now, maybe going on 13. Its original intent and design was to help address the skills gap that we are experiencing and we were experiencing at that time and continue to experience today in the food, agriculture, and natural resources industry. Quite frankly, we just aren't graduating enough people from our colleges and universities to fill the professional opportunities that are available in our cluster of agriculture careers. And so the curriculum for ag science education was visioned and designed to address those areas of need. It is an inquiry-based educational model which delivers a very rigorous and STEM-based curriculum in agriculture. Certainly, there may be lots of cases across the country where there is some great agri-science and STEM-based instruction being delivered, and that's not to take anything away from those programs or those successful courses that are being offered. But CASE is a little different in that it's a package that it offers both the curriculum, professional development, assessments connected to the instructional program, and then certainly some guidelines around quality instructional facilities as well. And a quick example there, there were a conversation that I had way back in the beginning was around a teacher who had been requesting certain material for the agriculture science classroom and couldn't get it approved. And then the CASE program was initiated at that school. And lo and behold, because it was listed as a requirement for this STEM-based agriculture science educational program, suddenly then it was okay to buy the products that were necessary to teach agriculture in the classroom. So it has some advantages because of its business-based and industry-based impact that we've used in order to make, in order to design and develop CASE. I think one of the other baselines that we talked about in day one and continue to carry out today is the fact that it's a win-win for students, students, schools, and universities. There are universities across the country, and those numbers grow, and I continue to field calls with questions on how to go about setting up articulation agreements between universities or county community colleges, two-year institutions, and four-year institutions. Those agreements with secondary programs who are graduating students from high school with CASE courses on their transcripts. And so colleges and universities are offering college credit for high school CASE courses because of their rigor and their level of instruction. And there's several of those on our website, and certainly they are accessible, and those numbers, as I say, continue to grow based on inquiries that we get. A couple of concepts that I have come across over time, or I should say, not really concepts, but quotes, to help strengthen why, maybe to strengthen based on, back to Mark's agenda, the case for CASE. In one situation, I spoke with a state-level administrator who was impressed with the turnkey product that CASE delivered and the fact that it provided teachers the professional development and background that they needed to be able to deliver and facilitate classroom learning. Specifically, the quote went something like, "We don't expect our surgeons and doctors to design and invent their own tools. Why do we expect our teachers to design and invent their curriculum and their labs? Why not let them do what they do best, facilitate learning?" And so the CASE program provides teachers with those tools and resources and training to allow the teacher to facilitate classroom instruction and learning to the best of their ability. So that was, I always thought that was an interesting comment. And then another one from a teacher that really simply said, CASE allows me to deliver the third component of our three-component model, the instructional part, just as I deliver the other two components, FFA and SAE. In those, in FFA and SAE, we expect our students to take the lead in both their leadership development and or in their supervised ag experiences and have them be in charge of their learning. And CASE now, in this example, allows our students to take charge of their classroom learning and instruction as well. So I thought that was rather insightful at that time. So if you, once you have the background of CASE and you decide you want to teach the course in your high school, what needs to occur next is you need to enroll, well, determine which pathway or which courses you want to teach. But specifically then, once that is determined, and some of that is done with probably your advisory committee and your local business and industry and your school administration, of course, but then you need to decide and sign up for a CASE Institute. Teachers must attend a CASE Institute in order to have access to the curriculum so that they can teach it. So that this summer, starting I think the very last little bit of May, the 28th of May, I think is the very first date, through the first or second week of August, we are offering 30 different institutes around the country covering 10 of our CASE courses that are included in our pathways. The pathways of CASE, I'll just stop to do a side example here. Pathways in CASE include the plant pathway, an animal pathway, an environment, a natural resources environmental science pathway, and an ag power and structural pathway. And in those each of those four pathways, there are four levels of courses: introductory, foundational, specialization, and a capstone course. And so those courses are available for teachers across the country through throughout the summer for teachers to have professional development to teach the courses next September. In addition to the CASE pathway courses that are available through the CASE Institutes, and by the way, the institutes are hosted by often by universities and or entities that host those either at a university or at a school district or even sometimes at the state's FFA centers. But in addition to those CASE Institutes, which are an 80-hour training, so in other words, it's about usually 7 to 10 days away for that training. In addition to those, we're offering this summer for the first time what we call as a briefcase, which is a training, a 4 to 5 hour training for a modular CASE course. And in this particular example, we are offering the Ag Business Foundations course as a briefcase this summer. There are 7 of those locations happening across the country in states like Nebraska, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California, and Oregon, and Iowa, I should say, as well. Some of those are already full because of the demand for those, and we expect those numbers of offerings to continue in the future. Those offerings, unlike the pathway courses through the regular CASE Institutes, the briefcases could potentially be offered throughout the year as opposed to only in the summer on the other example. The briefcase offerings in some cases are being attached in front of or immediately after existing state workshops or events, or in some cases states are hosting those individually or separately from other events. So again, to kind of back up or summarize a little bit, if a school or a teacher is interested in offering CASE at their school, they should determine certainly the area or the pathway that they want to concentrate in, take a look at the CASE Institute offerings. Another step in that process would be to take a look at what supplies and equipment are necessary. And those can easily be inventoried through the CASE Purchase Manual, which is available on our caseforlearning.org website. And that will allow teachers to determine what they have available and what they might need to supplement their current supply and materials with an equipment list in order to offer that. Additionally, if as a teacher or school district is pursuing the CASE program, they may want to take a look at some of the scholarships and grants that are offered through the CASE program each year. Now, that cycle is pretty much wrapped up for this year, and we're announcing, have already announced those successful recipients. However, those are hopefully a cyclical thing, and each year we continue to offer those, and those numbers do seem to grow. So companies like the Ag Equipment Manufacturers, Equipment Dealers Association, CHS Foundation, Cargill, Farm Credit East, Corteva AgriScience, the Agriculture Division of DuPont are all sponsors of CASE scholarships for teachers because of their belief in preparing teachers for good teachers for good classrooms, and more importantly, to help us graduate more students to fill the industry's needs. With that, I think I will conclude, unless they're certainly open for questions. And I'll be happy to field any of those that might come my way around CASE or Perkins funding, Perkins 5, I should say.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Ellen, for your presentations. Of course, we send out the weekly report every Friday, which I think is quite full of information about all that's happening at 6060 FFA Drive here in Indianapolis. We're always open to comments and questions, so keep watching for updates periodically from us and the weekly report, and we'll look forward to joining you at our next teacher town hall. Thank you.